How did you go about learning about finance, about stocks, about real estate?
90% of property buyers actually use a property themselves. I'm one of these 10% of investors.
Did you actually get yourself in by working with another person, or is this something you immediately started as an entrepreneur?
I went to the office every day, 7 days a week, and I helped other agents in the office to win customers. And I learned a lot. And most people didn't believe in me. But because I consistently continued to show up, dress in the right way, look the right way, and more said the right things with time, you also lose your freedom. So it's not only about the property investment itself, but now you're stuck in one place. When you leave, you need to wait 6 to 12 months to sell that particular asset, get 60,000 euros per year, 50% tax.
What is that one mistake that people make when they're investing?
Yeah, they buy their own home. This is usually the worst investment.
All right, we're here with another special guest on this podcast, and we have here Christian Bullman. It's a pleasure to have you here, my friend.
Absolutely. Always good to see you, brother.
So for the audience who don't know you, yes. Who is Christian?
Well, I named my personal brand after my attitude for life, and it's Chris Agop, and it's AGOHP, which stands for always give 100%.
Oh, wow.
That's what I truly believe in life, as we live once. And it has done quite well for myself so far.
So where do you come from? You're coming from Germany, right?
Yes, yeah.
So what made you decide to go from Germany all the way right here in Dubai?
I've lived in over 7 countries now, soon to be another one added to the list, partly. And I think Germany was a wonderful place to grow up as a child, when you were able to be innocent and enjoy and have no worries. But when I was 18 years old, I moved to Munich with my brother. I grew up 1 hour from Munich. And Munich was the first big, I was from a village, a small city, 8,000 people. Munich was buzzing, vibing, had energy. Not like my farmer's town where I was originally from. So that energy and drive took me. And I became an entrepreneur. And because of the first 5 years of business experience in Germany, I didn't feel like Germany is the right place to actually give 100% and get the maximum output.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But what type of entrepreneur are you?
So I help, in general, I help very successful people to maintain their wealth, protect their wealth, and make their assets work really, really hard for them. I believe assets can be good, but they can also be a liability when you don't have a good cash flow from them. So that's what I really focus on. And that's mainly high cash flow hospitality properties. Yeah.
And did you actually get yourself in by working with another person, or is this something you immediately started as an entrepreneur?
It's baby steps, like everything in life. First, I worked in an internship for a year for a financial advisory firm in Munich. That's when I was 18 years old. And a year later, I asked for a job. I didn't even finish school yet. My boss, you might say, I mean, I was the man for everything in the office. So the CEO and owner of the company, he didn't want to give me a job. He believed I can do it better by myself. So he was very, very I'm very grateful. He was very kind. He gave me a space to work, and I kind of continued my internship for another year. Did all my licenses. You need a couple of licenses from the government to be able to advise people on financial matters like insurance, on stocks and real estate. And then I was active for 4 years in the field, winning customers, as my brand says, everywhere at all times, from a nightclub to a metro, in a cafe, wherever. Germany had a huge problem since 2008 that fixed yields didn't give any more income because they were around 1% a year, 0.5. They even went negative. And Germans always had 6% guaranteed yield, so their investments were quite simple. Give it to the German government and wait in 5 years or 10 years. I get my money back, I give it back to them. So I was in this transition period for Germans that they had to look elsewhere for the investments. So I was very, very energized and very proud to, everybody drove a BMW, a Daimler, used an iPhone. Why not invest in that company? It didn't make any sense to me, right? So that was my preaching but for the first 5 years.
How did you go about learning about finance, about stocks, about real estate? You know,
yeah,
it's a very heavy topic that we're talking about right now.
It's beautiful. I have terrible ADHD, but even though it lets me down on some things, a lot of things actually, I get distracted easily. But when I really like something and when I'm really interested in a topic or a client, etc., then I'm ultra focused and I have a photographic memory and it's just sticks with me forever.
So you basically can...
But all the other stuff is just like it doesn't exist. And the thing that's important to my brain just, it capacitizes it.
So you can read a book and you can just flip it once and you can have it in your memory right now.
No. So if that book really, really interests me, yes, I know everything about it.
But it's just a new memory. You can just memorize the whole thing. Like it's right there.
Wow. Yeah.
Wow. That's a unique gift, don't you think? To have a photogenic memory.
Well,
it helps a lot.
Like I said, I can't really control it. So it's it has its downsides and its upsides. But sometimes, like right now, I go through this transition phase where I don't have a business model that ultimately brutally cash flowing like I had in 2015 to 2020 when I had the vacation rental business, which was a wonderful time. And it's already appearing, this new partnership I'm in, etc. I'm flying to New York actually on Monday to meet my partner in the hotel business. And we're going to meet our investors in Cancun, Mexico on the 25th of March. And I'm going to buy my first branded hotel shortly. Yeah.
How many units is going to be in this branded hotel?
This particular unit we're looking at, they come and go on a weekly basis. So the States is very liquid on commercial property deals, which has to do with the tax incentive behind it. So if you sell an asset profitable and you reinvest that money within 6 months, 180 days, you pay zero tax.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of coming and going of deals. So even a deal we're looking at right now, which is 166 rooms, it does $12 million in revenue per year. It might be gone tomorrow, to be honest. We haven't secured the spot yet.
Wow. It goes that fast when it comes to those type of properties.
Yeah. Yeah. It comes that fast. You do your due diligence. It usually comes with an agency. Then they provide you with a deck to do your high-level due diligence. And then you go into, you sign an NDA, and then they give you all the numbers because it's an existing business. So you need to look into the last couple of years. How was it going? And into all the accounting and so on. And and then you can... You need to put a deposit down, which is usually 10% of the price of the hotel. They go between $20 and $30 million, and then it comes to negotiation and the bank financing, which is the important part, because as an investor, you mostly make your money on the buying price when you buy into the asset, not when you sell it.
Interesting. Yeah. So you say most investors, they don't actually invest the full amount. They mortgage it in a way with the banks.
Yeah, I think it's the main reason why real estate is a good asset class is that you can lend up to 60, 70% from banks because banks trust that investment with you.
Mm.
Otherwise, you're probably better off in the stock market or in other investments. Yeah.
Because, for example, my father told me that when you go and buy a property, don't rely as much as you can with the mortgage and use your cash to invest in it. Because if you think about the interest rates throughout the years you're paying, you might be paying within 20 years $1 million or $2 million or $3 million, depending on how much the cost of this property is.
Yeah.
So he's saying like much more, you should at least, at the minimum, 50% should be paid through your own money. And then maybe 50% should be done through a mortgage. What's your thought on that?
It's an interesting concept, and it comes from tradition and being risk averse. But when you look at the American economy and its success model, they're absolutely on steroids in terms of finances. Mm. Everything is borrowed. Everything is about spending. You need to keep money flowing. If the money just sits in the asset, it's not working as hard as it could. That's what I believe in. Interest rates can be a big issue, but you need to look for an investment that can easily afford with the rental income to pay off your mortgage over a certain period of time. And most people buy a home to live in it for 25 years. I don't do such investments. I make investments for 5 to 10 years, and then I plan to exit it profitably. So you just pay off the mortgage when you sell it.
All right. So you have a shorter window compared to having it for a long period of time.
It's exactly.
More about appreciation of the capital of the castle and then selling.
Yes. 90% of property buyers actually use the property themselves. I'm one of these 10% of investors. I look for high cash flow property that in 5 to 10 years has a good equity increase. So it's a profitable investment.
Wonderful. And what about in terms of like me as a regular average person?
Yeah.
How can I get myself into learning about stocks, learning about finance, learning about real estate? Where do I start?
Well, I learned in the field, you know, when I was 19 and I won around 1,200 clients in that 4 or 5 years.
You had 1,200 clients?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did you manage all that by yourself?
Or
did you
No, of course. So that model, particularly in Germany or in generally in the advisory business, is very common because it's commission only based.
Hmm.
I had around 400 partners, product partners, and we would create a sit lab. It's called like a suited living planning, like a suit, a financial suit for your living situation. I created that and then choose out of my hundreds of product partners what's the best for your particular situation. And it got to the point where it was too much for me. Absolutely. I worked 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, sometimes more. So I had staff, of course, mostly agents that helped me win customers, go through the consulting time, face-to-face with the client. I had to win them, educate them, train them, help them go through the same pain I went through, because when you're 19 years old and you want to advise people on their finances in Germany in a cheap suit, yeah, it's fun.
It's very hard. I mean, you were 19 years old. Like, what would you know about life? I'm a 40-year-old man with the...
That's correct.
You know?
Yeah.
How could a 19-year-old really give me an advice on financial things? That's the thing. How did you become that person of leverage?
Yeah.
Where you had the financial strength, being able to advise people that are very high level.
I think my drive and my energy was a magnet at the time. So people were curious. Because you're right. When I spoke to a BMW engineer who makes 200,000 euros per year and he's 40, how do I win his time, his attention? And that was mainly through consistency. So from 19 to 20, I didn't win one customer. I went to the office every day, 7 days a week, and I helped other agents in the office to win customers. And I learned a lot. And most people didn't believe in me, but because I consistently continued to show up, dress in the right way, look the right way, and more said the right things with time, people became curious and they wanted to listen. And of course, I had some help from the more experienced people there because I helped them. So they wanted to help me. They wanted to keep me around. And that's how I won my first customer. And then it went really quick. Yeah.
How do you go about building your financial knowledge? That's the thing that I really want to know.
Yeah. So back then, I personally studied economics on the side. But to be completely frank with you, I was the one challenging the professor most, because from my experience in the field, I already knew more about the reality of finances than most of them. Still, it was important to learn how to use Excel and all these tools and so on, right? Which today you can do with Grok in probably 2 hours. What I went to university for 6 months or years. But
now it can be done instantaneously with AI.
Look, back then, my knowledge came from reading and from practicing and preaching and listening to people who are very experienced in the field, being around them, because I was in the office with another 80 advisors. It was a large office, and they were all ex-military. It was a brotherhood for me. I loved it. And that also gave me even more drive. And I had to be punctual, and it was a really, really great time for me in my life. And, but how would I go about it today? I think AI is changing everything in terms of availability of information, but still you need to start very, very slowly in terms of taking risks. It might take years until you feel comfortable to do a riskier investment, and specifically, it won't burn you, because the biggest mistake about investing is that you take a risky step too early. You get burned. We all get burned at some point. I lost almost $1 million last year, but exponentially on what I made last year, it's still, it's not that bad, luckily. But the higher you grow in that investment world, you just need to be careful that you continue investing and you don't get burned to a level that you stop forever, because the world is going to continue growing and innovating if you're with it or not. So you have to be with it. Otherwise, you will guaranteed lose. It's not possible.
So you say that most of your knowledge has been built by working for others and working within a company. Would you say that?
No, because from 19 years old, I was fully commission-based, self-employed.
But you were still having a people around you that were similar position that were teaching you as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but it was a completely non-corporate environment. That's the interesting part. Mm-hmm. So we were doing hundreds of push-ups on the floor, and it was like this mix. They were 10 years, most of them were in the military for 10 years, and they were in good shape and they were disciplined. Mm-hmm. And I come from a normal lower middle class household where my dad works for the government.
Mm.
So discipline from my father is it's interesting. When you work for the government in Germany, you don't really have to be disciplined. They pay you anyway. You show up, you don't. It's okay. So that was a really important time for me to get going. And I loved it. It was a great environment to be in. But when I moved to London, when I was 24 in 2015, I didn't know anyone. I was completely on my own. I barely spoke English. I did learn a lot from these guys, and I'm eternally grateful for that. And actually, this gentleman that gave me space in his office to work when I started, I was his best man on his wedding, and that was 2 years ago in Rome, and did sing a song for him, and and thanked him there, because I've done well for myself, and he was the foundation. He was my second father figure, the man of virtue, stability, discipline, strength that I wanted to become when I was 18, 19 years old. Yeah.
So let's talk about something that most people can get some information about. What is that one mistake that people make when they're investing? think, from your based on your experience?
Yeah, they buy their own home. This is usually the worst investment you can make.
Buying your own home?
Yes.
Is that a mistake?
Absolutely. Absolutely. In most places, Dubai is a little bit different because here the real estate market is not driven by jobs like in most places in the world. Here it's driven by trends.
Hmm.
So the returns are very high. But in most places in the world, jobs determine property valuation and inflation. Inflation is just a hidden tax, right? So if your property only grows in inflation, you're not really making money. It just stays whatever you put in. It stays at the same value. So I believe you need to take all the capital you have to grow it at a comfortable maximum level. That's what always give 100% stands for. I don't mean taking crazy risk, but when you buy your own home, you're bound to it. You also lose your freedom. So it's not only about the property investment itself, but now you're stuck in one place. When you leave, you need to wait 6 to 12 months to sell that particular asset. But when you have a rental property or you have a hotel, it's just creating cash flow every month and you can pay your rent and it will grow over years and then prices will grow over years and then you can rent a bigger house because you're charging now more per night, right? In 5 years' time, your business is going to do better. Most people can start with a hotel investment. Obviously, it's very expensive. And I don't recommend small hotels. Anything below 100 rooms, 120 rooms, for me personally, I wouldn't touch it because you will not be able to sustain a very, very professional management team, which means you're buying yourself another job because you will be the main investor and then they might not be able to perform properly and then you have to be there all the time.
Mm.
Like in the house that you purchase for yourself, you're bound to it.
But with the rising cost of the rent that is happening right now, I mean, you see the properties right here in Dubai being raised with rents from 20% and above.
Yeah.
Like things that are used to cost maybe, let's make it the perspective of a one-bedroom apartment used to cost 60,000 dirhams. Now it'll be like up to 90, up to 100, up to 110,000.
The best statement you make is that's exactly what you need to do. Buy to let. Buy it, let it.
Buy and the rented, but then where do you live? That's a question.
You rent.
Okay, so you buy something else, but you rent in another place.
So, because look, maybe your environment is changing.
Mm.
I lived in downtown on the boulevard opposite the construction started a couple of months ago, when it was only ground construction. I'm on it. What's on a 20-something floor? It didn't bother me. But the moment they were on the 8th floor, etc., I had constant noise 24/7, 7 days a week.
Mm.
So I canceled my lease, negotiated a deal with the landlord, and left. And that flexibility is not only peace of mind. As an entrepreneur, or even in the corporate world, when you get an opportunity elsewhere, you need to move fast. And an investment property pays you wherever you are. And it will pay the mortgage and it will pay the bills. You shouldn't buy a property that costs you money, right? You should buy an investment where you have a cash flow. And you should rent where you want to live. But that might change in a year or two. I know it's very, in Germany, it's the most traditional thing that you buy your own place and you live in your own place and you make it nice. I personally, as an investor, know that it's a waste of money and a waste of time, and it will cost you a lot of opportunities on the way. Of course, if you have hundreds of millions of dollars, it doesn't really matter because you take 10% of your cash, put it in a nice villa and enjoy. But I didn't grow up like this. When I moved to London, I had 800 euros in my pocket. So I had to maximize literally every dollar that I made. And even up today, I own a lot of investment property and I rent. And I will continue that for a few more years.
How old are you right now?
I'm 33.
33.
Yeah.
So would you say now you reached to becoming a seven-figure person?
from 19 years old to now, if it's not confidential?
Yeah, no. I became a millionaire when I was 29.
29, you became the first, you reached your target of being a millionaire.
I thought so, yeah. So actually when I made a million, I didn't even know. I was, my business was doing well. We had so much success and so much problems. So I was busy. But as I had nearly 1,000 bedrooms under management in my vacation rental business in London, COVID was an interesting wake up call. And yeah, so at the end of my 29th year, I realized, okay, you're a multimillionaire. So that's what we're going to do now. I just lost my business. So that was bad. That was the majority of my wealth. I didn't really think about my salary and the properties I bought, because when you have a cash flow business, it's always the best. Always the best. Money coming from assets, it's cool, but it's boring. It's not. It's like with everything in life, when it always comes, it's not as exciting. So you always want more. You want to create more value. You want to learn more.
When is it enough? When is it enough? Like, what would you say is the right amount of income that will sustain a person feeling that, okay, they're generally going to be comfortable, and anything additional than that is just not going to add much improvement in their life?
I have to be careful what I say there. I think my drive for money has already massively declined. My first priority now is health. My second priority is brotherhood. My third is freedom, which where I put money in, because money buys access, money buys healthcare, money buys security, money buys a lot of things. And then when I have these three stable bricks in my life, then I want my family, right?
So how much would they need to actually sustain that, having the money enough to buy the health, buy the security, buy the house that they can have it?
Like, I think if you want to be, and I'm talking about nothing can go wrong anymore. You don't need to take crypto risk. I mean, I'm not talking about holding Bitcoin. I'm speaking about investing in a project. I've done seed round investments. They can either go top or completely to nothing, right? It's very high risk. So I think you can generally generate 6 to 8% in cash flow very comfortably from your portfolio. So I would say $10 million in asset value.
So you have, having $10 million of assets.
But it depends where you live. I'm speaking about
Dubai.
Yeah, $10
million. $10 million.
Yeah, $50,000 a month.
Okay.
Then you can rent a nice villa. You have 2-3 cars. Your wife, you can wine and dine. You can take a business class flight. I'm flying first class on Monday to New York. The flight is $12,000. It's ridiculous what stuff costs these days.
Is it worth it?
The main issue is I'm going there for 10 days. If I wouldn't spend the money on the business or first ticket, then I would not be able to work for 4 or 5 days because of the jet lag, because of the time difference. So you have that option. You can save money on the flight, but then I'm going to lose money in my presentation, my energy, my
productivity, your performance, everything. So you're,
that's the problem.
You're kind of buying your time. You're resting in terms of having a better health and enjoying that experience.
And of course I flew economy many, many times in my life. But now I'm at a point where if I can do that trip business or first, if it's transatlantic, if it's more than 4 or 5 hours, then I'm not doing the trip because I will not be able to perform. And when you speak to investors about, nobody's interested to buy one hotel. All my investors, they want a model they can replicate, right? That's where the money is. Okay, one hotel is nice, but how can we do 20, 30? So I'm asking for $250, $300, $400 million. I need to be in the best shape, full focus, meditation, training, best diet, and the right rest. Yeah, because you can have the best diet in the world. If you're not sleeping, you're not feeling great.
True.
Yeah.
So you said it's about $10 million a year.
No. I was speaking about owning assets.
Yeah.
Real estate assets. I'm not talking about stocks, crypto, this and that. $10 million in real estate assets that are rented out. So you have $50,000 a month. And for the rest of your life, you will be very comfortable. And you have little worries. But again, you'll be bored.
How can I achieve that? That's a question right there. If I was in Dubai, let's say I'm a person who's making maybe, give the average, $100,000 a year.
Yeah. That's, I was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you go about now?
We need a cash flow.
Having an asset, you know, portfolio of $10 million in real estate. How do you go about that? How long will it take from now? Realistically, we want it to be that.
So it depends. When I started the vacation rental business in 2012 in Munich, I had my first apartment by accident. I never thought, I'm going to become an Airbnb host, whatever, right? It was an accident and it made good money. So I got another one and another one. But my financial advisory business was my core focus. But when I moved to London in 2015, this industry didn't exist before, right? Airbnb gave vacation rental a marketplace. Vacation rental was the old granny. When you drive to Italy, she would give you her second apartment in the summer. But she wouldn't advertise it anywhere. You would just know, you see the signs, you know? You would drive to Italy, you see the signs, where's availability? Airbnb was the first to give it a marketplace. Like eBay was the first, you know, to sell stuff.
To sell your stuff, your products. Yeah.
Exactly. So I was a massive boom. And when I moved to London in 2015, I got cheated by my agent with Photoshop photos. Everything went really quick. I like to do things very fast. I paid 1 year in advance, moved in, and it didn't look the way I expected. So I thought, what's the best I can do out of this situation? I paid the whole year because I had no credit history in the UK. So I had to pay like a student the full contract period in advance. I went to IKEA, bought a mattress, slept on the floor in the living room, and rented out my bedroom on Airbnb. And after a month, I was booked for 4 months in advance. The rent was paid. So I scratched my head. It's like, I don't know this place. I barely speak English, but that thing is making money. So I rented a 3-bedroom house opposite 3 months later. I couldn't, because again, no credit score, but I made a partnership with the guy who's sitting next to me in the office. He was there for 18 years. His name is Pietro. And that's when the business took off. Yeah. And over 5 years, I accumulated more than 500 properties. It's a very agile market.
You were renting 500 properties and then releasing it to.
Yeah, I was renting. So it didn't have a name back then. I was subleasing. Yeah. And you know, like people get speeding tickets, breaking a rental contract in the UK is like it's not, you don't even get fined most of the times. You just need to accurately and professionally treat the property. And then most landlords are very happy. But 2015, Airbnb wasn't such a thing like today. So we were growing very, very fast. I was in partnership with Pietro for probably around 2 years, 2015 to 2017. Then he went to work for AIG, this big insurance company, and became an investor. Until today, he's one of my high net worth individuals. I help to manage their wealth. And I built it up to £1 million a month rental income.
Wow.
It was huge. And 2019 was my best year.
Just before the COVID.
Just before February 2020 hit, which was horrendous. Now we all know it was a pandemic and 50 people in my company lost their jobs. I obviously had investors already at that point in the business to grow to a certain level. They didn't have shares, but we did projects together, right? And yeah, they got hit very hard. I got hit very hard. It was very brutal, very brutal. It taught me a lot. And that's when I moved to Mexico because Dubai was open, but still in Dubai, there was a lot of restrictions I didn't like. And because you know about my funny diet, I believe the best way of eating, sleeping, training, etc. is like 10,000 years ago. I wasn't really into taking any vaccines and stuff. So Mexico was a very free and very open space. Even though I had my residence here, I had my company here. I ended up in Tulum, Mexico. Yeah, it was. And then I built a building there. That's how, that's actually how I got into the corporate branded hotels. Because the gentleman who's the CEO of the family office I work with, he owns a luxury hotel right there. And he got to know me and he saw what I'm capable of. And I built 12 villas from the ground up, again, without speaking Spanish. Threw out a lot of problems, fixed them all during the period. Still a very problematic country to do business, but I manage it. And we're going to probably sell it in a year or two. So we hold it for around 5 years. And we'll exit it probably at 50% more or less profit. So plus the rental income and so on, obviously.
So you mostly invested in real estate, but have you been also investing in stocks and...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else. How do you go about stocks and crypto, for example? Do you think crypto is still a worthy investment these days?
I absolutely believe in Bitcoin. Mm. I also own other coins, but I think the most important what you need to look at is the technological revolution that's taking place. It's not that much about a crypto coin or a Bitcoin or an Ethereum. No, it's about the technology that's behind it.
The blockchain.
Yes. And that's the future. Everything is going to be run on the blockchain. And these crypto coins already today give the technologic ability to people to use it. That's why I'm into crypto. Because like the stock market was invented in Great Britain hundreds of years ago because British business people wanted to sublet their ships.
Mm.
They didn't want to be the only shareholder, the only risk taker. They subleased their ship to hundreds of shareholders. This stock market is nothing else than subleasing. You buy your certificate and you hold it, you pay for it, you hold it. You don't have a monthly fee. Well, sometimes you have, sometimes you don't. Depends what you invest in. And if it does well, it's very profitable.
Do you think as an investor, should you have high tolerance for risk? Should you be a very much high risk taker? Or should you be a person who takes low to risks as much as possible?
So I want to rotate back quickly how to get to that 10 million.
All right.
You need to build a high cash flow business.
How do you go about that? So let's talk about me, for example.
Yeah.
I deal with content creation. I deal with the government entities.
Yeah.
I also do business in terms of helping people coming here to thrive in Dubai, set up their business, set up their visa, and finding a property.
Wonderful.
But the thing is now is finding the high quality leads.
Absolutely.
Potentially I can serve them.
Yeah.
That has been the most struggle.
You need to become an ultimate geek about marketing, an absolute professional in marketing. It's never been more difficult because this world adapts so fast.
Mm.
Everything's changing all the time. Sometimes in hours, days, weeks, the whole algorithms change and you need to find out by mistakes. I had these situations in the business with the laws changing and this vacation rental is not always welcome. which is funny because 20 years ago, property prices in London were ridiculously high. Mm. There was no vacation rental. Today, it's ridiculously high. Maybe it's because you're not allowed to build higher than the St. Paul's Church. Maybe. They could just quadruple their living space by building a little bit higher, but no. It's Airbnb's fault. The property prices are higher. Anyway, that's another side story. So content creation, you need to generate leads. You need to be extremely valuable to them. And then I think you need to come up with your own product. You need to sell a product, not just a service, because your service is not as scalable as a product.
Mm.
So in your field, you should create maybe a software application to streamline, or an AI to streamline who you are and the service you give. That's a product that you can replicate to a trillion without your interference, your time, your investment.
Mm. Some people, like, especially, like, let's say if I'm going to you, Christian, you're the wealth management expert, consultant. I would not necessarily pay for the AI to do the work, but rather for your time to be with me throughout the process. That's the difference that I feel.
I think that there's a huge difference when you have a high net worth individual that generated $20 million in wealth, already has a lot of investment experience.
Yes.
But wants to take a step back, focus on other things.
Yes.
Or most of my clients actually have a very successful cash flow business and they are very good at it. And I'm trying just to help them to keep focusing on that.
Mm-hmm.
And I help them investing that cash flow elsewhere, right? Because a lot of it will always go back in the business, but then some of it accumulates on the side and they tend to make really bad decisions on these investments because all they know is their particular cash flow business, because that's what they have been doing for 10 years, because it takes years to build these things. Mm. Years and years, sometimes 20, sometimes 30, you never know. I was very successful because I fall into this trend. I was in London,
the opportunity,
vacation rental,
yes,
was not even a thing yet. And I got scammed. And because of the real estate agent scamming me, I was like, okay, it's uncomfortable already. I sleep on the floor in this mattress, rented on this platform, and boom, and I saw the success. Didn't even have to take much risk, right? These things happen in life when you always show up and you push with the right energy and you give value to people. It's so interesting because things will come to you.
Luck so you see that.
Comes to you.
You see
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, 100%.
I feel like it's very interesting. You start a business, but you have that belief that business will serve people. And then eventually throughout time, you see people just coming to you. It's like life is rewarding you by starting this venture.
Absolutely.
In a way.
In this world, everything is energy. And for light to exist, darkness has to exist. So specifically through your business journey, you will endeavor always a lot of negativity, darkness, failure. Failure is not necessary darkness, but it feels like it. And when COVID hit and I had millions of pounds in my account and I had to pay £600,000 a month to all the liabilities the business had. Oh boy, that was interesting. 9 months. It took me 9 months to litigate everything. I litigated everything myself completely over 9 months. And then I sold the business to a law firm who could work with the debt.
Yeah.
For free. Yeah. They took the business, and there's some companies that benefit from failing businesses. So they took it over. And yeah.
So how do you find those buyers, those sellers? You as a person who's looking for those high net individuals, where do you go about to find them? To really then add value through your services.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the main reasons why I'm in Dubai is because of that. Here is an empire being built in less than 100 years. A huge successful kingdom is being created. And one of the core factors and magnets is that when you're successful when you made a little bit of money, this is the safest and most comfortable place to live in the world. So forget about the summer, etc. Luckily, we can travel, right, as well, if we want to escape the heat. But I think in less than 10 years, this is going to be not only the weather will change, it will also be an oasis. It will be very green, because this government doesn't run it like a government. It runs it like CEOs, CTOs. It's a business.
It's like the country's run like a business.
And they're in a lot of debt. So again, going back to the mortgage, when Dubai takes debt to create this incredible product and service, why wouldn't I do it? Why wouldn't advise I clients to do it, right? That's how you maximize your wealth, is you need to take risks.
So when you take debt,
yes,
how long you should take time to pay it off, or you should like just leverage it throughout the whole time?
I'm terrible with that.
Because you might like, if you take the wrong advice, you do something wrong, you might be stuck with this debt for the rest of your life. Wow. So it's not easy to just say, I'm going to go to the bank. Oh, I'm just going to take a loan here, to take credit card loans. I'm going to do this just to start my business. And then this business does not succeed.
Look, investing and taking risk happens in stages. So I'm at a level where because I've accumulated a few million dollars in hard assets, I'm way more comfortable today taking very high risks. But how I would start, if I have a 9-to-5 job, in Germany, I had a lot of clients that were 25, 27 years old. They finished uni. They get 60,000 euros per year, 50% tax. They have 30, 35,000 left. So they can put aside 400-500 euros a month. I would invest it in the stock market. And I would spread that into the 10, 20 companies that you love the most, that you use the most. If you want to be even more risk averse, you use an index fund.
S&P 500, Vanguard.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Low cost, high.
How much would I invest? Like if I'm in a salary,
I would invest.
What percent of my salary should be invested on S&P 500 or?
If you don't have equity on this, like if you don't have the possibility to invest in a property, you don't have hundreds of thousands saved up, that's how you need to start.
What percentage of your salary should they invest on a monthly basis to the S&P 500 index?
So it depends on your living standard and the place you're in and how much taxes you pay. But I personally always put aside everything I could.
So every savings you put potentially, instead of putting in the bank, you put it there.
I lived like a mouse till I was 29.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I still subleased. I lived in a 2-bedroom apartment, 2 minutes walk from the office, subleased my second bedroom. I didn't pay rent. I was in the office all day. I didn't have expensive cars. I didn't spend much money at all. Only on the business. I spent money. I reinvested in the business. Everything I had. And I bought hard assets.
How much money should put it in a bank? And not, like, let's say if I have a business.
Yeah.
How much should I put on the bank if I have a bank savings account? Or should I just put it all as much as I can into the business or into this index fund?
Well, cash is king in the business as well, because you make money by exchanging money.
Yes.
Right? You can exchange that money for products, services, whatever, right? But that's how a business really makes money. So depending on what business you're in, what are your fixed costs, your payrolls, etc., you need to have some cash in the account, because My payment service has been blocked countless times, 20, 25 times. I had situations where Booking.com took us off the platform because they had an issue doing a direct debit. It's like the automatic commission payment from any account in the world. And then they automatically took your listings offline. I had 54 listings at the time. 40% of all my business came from them. So I had a 40% loss of income instantly. And even though now everybody started paying them manually by bank transfer, they didn't have a system to actually pick it up, mark it as paid. So for 3 months, I was unlisted and I had way less revenue. So these are the situations when you own a business, you need to have cash. Otherwise, it breaks you. And there was a few situations like this. When I was kicked out of my best building, I had 28 apartments in the 251 building in Elephant and Castle, brand new 300 apartment high rise. It was a wonderful building. We operated very professional. That's how I got to 28 apartments in the first place. I was there for years. But the penthouse owner had a run into one of my housekeepers, and he was very rude to her. And she's Romanian, so she was a little rude back because she doesn't take shit. And that's when he picked up on our operation in his building. He owns the penthouse, not the building, but he felt like it's his castle. I appreciate that. We never caused any trouble, but yeah, he ended up creating a Facebook group and making noise and pushing us out of the building. And now here comes the big trouble, like with an airline. A lot of my income is from advance payments in vacation rental. Yeah, Airbnb pays you after checkout, but all the other platforms, I have my own website, I take my own payments, etc. Today, I'm not involved in vacation rental, but back then I had nearly 300 apartments, right? So around £400,000-£500,000 a month came from payment providers. And when you get kicked out of this building, you can't provide the property anymore. So now you have to refund the money. And with booking.com, it's even worse. Now Booking will relocate your client. And if there is a higher charge for the same property like yours, you have to pay for it.
Hmm.
The host is liable, financially liable. They just deduct it from your next payouts. They put it on your commission invoice. Boom. That was a few like this, because vacation rental is very agile. It's high risk, especially the subleasing. So yeah, you definitely need some cash on the side. And especially in the current environment, I would park a good amount of money on a savings account, because I believe the US government, as the world leader in economics and the economy, has created a lot of fake wealth without actual products and services sold, by simply printing money.
Mm.
And that's called inflation. But now we have a new sheriff in town, and he has stopped this unnecessary money flow. So the expectation of pricing is going to decline. I don't know if we're going to have a deflation, but inflation will very, very much steady, and interest rates will align, and you should wait for that moment. Stock prices adjusting, interest rates coming down, so you can borrow much cheaper to buy a good asset.
So there will come a time where you're going to buy, for sure.
Exactly. And This is why I'm getting now into the hotel game, because if you buy commercial real estate now, the interest rates are high. But I'm not buying a real estate, I'm buying a business. How is the business valued? By profit and real estate value, right? This particular property. So now I pay 7% to the bank for this hotel, but in 5 years, I'm going to pay 5.5 or 5.
Refinancing?
Exactly. So what happens to your balance sheet? Your profitability increases massively, because 50% of your net operating income goes to the bank right now. But in the future, it's just 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can sell that business. Yes, it's a hotel. Yes, I'm doing the same like I did with vacation rental. But the vacation rental property, I can just sell at the price, the ROI of the long-term rent. I don't get the financial benefit because the government doesn't allow me in most places to do short-term rent, right? So they don't allow me. But with a hotel, I can sell at the balance sheet, at the profitability of the building. And we never had this so evident, that interest rates are going to come down. So I can buy now cheap, and in 5 to 10 years, sell the hotel way more expensive, because it's way more profitable.
Interesting. Now, coming to the final question that might ask, what is this final takeaway you'll give to the audience listening here in terms of the financial success?
I think for the majority of your time, you shouldn't be chasing financial success. You should go after something that you analyzed it is going to be a trend, and you need to learn everything about that, add value in that field, and it's very, very likely that you will create generational wealth for your family if you stick to it. And I mean, sticking to it doesn't mean you go to a few meetings for a week or two. No, it might take years, but you need to be consistent and keep going. But when you realize it's not for you, even if it's after 4 years, 5 years, like my business in Germany, don't be afraid. Pack your things, move to Dubai, try it elsewhere.
Wonderful advice. How can people reach out to you?
You can reach out to me on Instagram. It's Chris, C-H-R-I-S, _ Agob. Agob is spelled A-G-O-H-P. Always give 100%.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Christian, for being here.
It's really a pleasure.
And I think a lot of the audience learned some insightful things about wealth management.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, bro.
Thank you.
Thank you.